This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines, and it's good news in Iraq at the start of the week. That's because a joint effort led by the Iraqi security forces and backed up by the U.S. military succeeded in taking out the number one and number two figures of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki announcing first, with pictures in hand, that Abu Ayyab al-Masri, the number one figure in Iraq, as well as his deputy, Abu Umar al-Baghdadi, were both killed in a raid near Tikrit. That information backed up by Vice President Joe Biden.
Early this morning on October 18th, Iraqi security forces, with the support of U.S. forces, killed the two most senior leaders of Al-Qaeda Iraq during a series of joint security operations near Tikrit.
Obviously, the vice president misspoke. It was April 18th when this raid was conducted, not October 18th, of course. But the vice president says this mission also shows two different things, both of which are very good: that Al-Qaeda is weakening and that Iraqi forces are getting stronger.
Abu Ayyub al-Masri and Abu Umar al-Baghdadi, the former leaders of AQI, were the ones who plotted, planned, and executed terrorist attacks against the Iraqis in the recent past, as well as against Americans. Their deaths are potentially devastating blows to Al-Qaeda Iraq. But equally important, in my view, is this action demonstrates the improved security strength and capacity of Iraqi security forces.
Biden says this didn't just happen by coincidence. He says the U.S. and the Iraqis have been working very hard for something like this to be possible.
This counterterrorism operation is the culmination of a lot of cooperation and very hard work by Iraqi and U.S. forces to degrade AQI over the past several months and years.
But the news is not as good when it comes to Iran. That's because over the weekend, a memo authored by Defense Secretary Robert Gates was released by Gates, which admits that there is no long-term strategy for dealing with a nuclear-armed Iran. Secretary Gates is now trying to downplay the significance of that revelation, but it comes as no surprise to many who have followed this standoff closely. Head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org to catch my interview with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He'll talk about why this is a huge step forward in Iraq, as well as why time is literally running out in order to try and deter a nuclear Iran. In other news, the flights are starting to slowly cross the Atlantic, but for the most part, the planes remain on the ground. That's because that Icelandic volcano continues to shoot ash into the atmosphere, but not quite at the same pace that it was for most of last week. This crisis for the airline industry, as well as for many other industries who can't get their goods and services into and out of Europe, could last for a number of days at least. And now the wind pattern is starting to shift and split. Part of the ash volume now heading towards North America, at this point northeastern Canada, where some flights in and around Newfoundland are starting to be canceled as a result of that ash clogging up the atmosphere. So what's the impact on the airlines, short-term and long-term? Well, again, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org to catch my analysis with airline industry expert David Field. Back here at home, a new poll from the Pew Center shows that Americans do not trust their government. You may not make that as much of a surprise given all the protests in the streets from the Tea Party and other groups opposed to much of the agenda that's been happening here in Washington. But the new numbers show that 78% of Americans in this survey either don't trust their government at all or rarely do. The 22% say that they do trust their government at least some or most of the time. Poll numbers for Congress are also at all-time lows, and of course, the recent tax deadline sent many people out in the streets protesting what they see as too much government and too much taxation. In another arena, the National Day of Prayer has been declared unconstitutional. The ruling came down late last week from U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Crabb in Madison, Wisconsin, saying that it amounts to a government endorsement of prayer, even though it doesn't actually force people to do anything. Most legal experts expect the decision to be reversed at the appellate court, or at least the Supreme Court, if it makes it that far. On Tuesday, look for analysis of this decision from experts such as Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. What you can find at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org today is also my interview with Matt Barber of Liberty Counsel. He takes a close look at the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, what seems like an effort to simply level the playing field for gays in the workplace, but he says it goes much further, reducing and restricting the religious liberties of employers across America. 15 years ago today, 168 people were killed when Timothy McVeigh launched the bomb inside his Ryder truck outside the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Today, a memorial service once again at the site of where the federal building once stood. 168 moments of silence, followed by the reading of the names of those who lost their lives that day 15 years ago. Among those speaking at the service, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, who praised the resilience of the Oklahoma people.
In big ways and small, resilience is a pillar of our security, and there has never been a better example of that than right here in Oklahoma City.
That's a look at Monday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.